Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, so we wanted to talk about specifically Deebo Samuel at the OTAs. And there's a clip that's going around on Twitter. It's about a 20-second clip of him catching two passes. And I'm sorry, Deebo looks chunky. I
mean, he just does.
There's no way around it.
Doesn't mean it won't be good.
He looks
chunky.
And I know Deebo Samuel, the defenders are going to say, well, he's built like that. Just that's the way he always looks.
It is.
I don't know. I don't know if he's always looked like that with the Niners. He looks especially thick.
He is built that way. He's a thick, lower body guy.
I know that,
but he looks a little thicker. Do you agree? Well, just like we all do.
I just think it depends.
I know I look thicker.
I think it depends on the whatever video you're watching, because when I was watching NBC4 a couple days ago and they were showing Deebo, I thought he looked good. And then that video, he looks heavier.
And I understand he's running half speed. It's not a full, like, implemented, like, play. I'm just talking about looking at him. Like, he looks especially thick.
The other part of that, though, is he's not beating you because of some incredible wiggle. He's beating you because he's going to run you over.
Correct.
So,
and look, I understand that 30 or 40 years ago, guys would get out of shape, and then they would come into their camps and training camps and work their way into shape.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's happening in 2025. Like, the NFL, like, you should be in shape year-round. It's a year-round business.
I bet
with
you.
With the money at stake, especially.
Yeah, but
you can't get fat in the offseason and then come working off.
I bet you if you took his shirt off, you'd be shocked at how fit he actually is. Yeah, because I bet a lot of that is muscle. If I had to bet.
I'd go, probably.
I'd like to talk to somebody, one of the media members who's out there every day. Because I read something online. Now, this was back in the first OTAs, the voluntary.
Yeah.
And it said, Deebo Samuel showed up looking leaner, stronger, and more explosive than he did last season, immediately drawing attention during the media open portion of workouts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His physical transformation is already a talking point. So the media was talking about that at some point.
In a positive way.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
But now, And social media, I mean, there are a bunch of idiots on social media, but they're talking about how he's fat. Well, it's kind of dependent on who you're talking to and who's viewing the video.
Now, there are some Debo defenders, some high-profile ones. George Kittle, his former teammate, you know, he saw all of the fat Debo memes that were going around after the video started circulating, and he was specifically talking about the way the play is being run at half speed. He said it's called group install when players jog through plays. Knock it off.
Uh-huh.
He's okay, defending
fine.
Debo.
That's fine. I get it. It still looks a little heavy.
Because Debo...
still looks a little
Debo heavy. Talked about this because this was an issue last year.
Yeah.
I give him kind of a pass because he was injured a lot, so he just wasn't in the best shape. But when they traded for him, they immediately put him in an off-season conditioning workout or program.
Yeah.
And he said... this is what he said. He says, being in better shape, we were just training every day in here. We kind of built a program for me to go by. It's going to help.
Right. So my guess is he might be.
You're a Debo guy. You're a Debo defender because he played for your team for many years.
Well, I just think.
I'll be honest. I got no loyalty to Debo. Nope. If he comes in fat, we're going to call him fat.
But you are rooting for him.
Sure, I want him to do well. I hope it's a good pickup. I hope that he actually gets in shape or better shape.
I'm team Debo until proven otherwise. I feel like you is now as a new adopted Commanders fan, you need to be your initial should always be Team Debo, and then you can trash him.
I'll just say
you can't trash him before.
He's officially in my crosshairs now.
Your default should be Team Debo. Your default.
All right, but you know what we need to do?
He showed up 5 minutes ago. Like he's not like
we need to talk to either JK or Ben or one of those guys. Who's watched every single play in OTAs.
I don't even need that.
It's so hard to know.
Here's all I need. I need Debo to take his shirt off. I need
visual proof. You know who takes his shirt off all the time? It is a big fat pig? Ovi. And then he just balls out and has unbelievable years.
He fluctuates weight-wise, too.
He does.
But also,
Ovi is not moving around. He stays in one spot a lot of the time.
You're also copying him to the one of the greatest hockey players ever.
Okay, but don't deny that Ovi is chunky.
I just said he fluctuates in weight.
Yeah, Ovi looks downright obese in off season.
He's in a different stratosphere.
I know.
I
know how to tweak him. Ovi looks obese in the off season, but it's fine because he performs.
Obese is a stretch. Definitely adds some weight.
Okay,
that's a crazy comparison. They completely different athletes. They're doing completely different things.
Listen, I don't think it's outrageous.
Also, Ovi's basically 40. Debo is not.
I know. I'm Team Debo until proven otherwise. I think he looks chunky, but he's not going to run a 4-2 and blow by you. That's not his game. His game is
he's going to run a 5-2 truck through you.
His game is going to catch
it. Debo has speed.
Well,
he does have speed.
Okay, but he's not a 4-2
guy. I'm not saying that.
You tell me when he separates from a cornerback.
I think he'll get
just
open.
Just watch him in the open field. He'll get open. He has run away from defenders billion times. Now
I think I saw cracks in the open field when he was running yesterday.
You see cracks or you see his crack?
No, I didn't see his crack. But cracks in the ground.
Hey, maybe the bump the cart hit when he took Noah Brown out was a pothole from his foot.
It's a big divot that Debo left.
A cement feet.
Now you could also
Bozempic.
You could also say on the flip side. Well, why did San Francisco give up on him?
Yeah, certainly.
And they might have said, you know what? He's just not the player / in shape that he was in 2021.
They don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
And that's the other thing. This is a contract year for him.
Right.
If he doesn't get hurt, he knows he has to put up numbers.
I'm going
to
make a blind bet right now. He's one and done here in D.C. This is his one year in D.C.
I'm in. I got it.
Well, what do you want to bet?
Whatever you want.
$10.
I'm broke. I'm team
Debo. Is a one and doneer in DC. I'm already skeptical.
I'm taking cakes off the Skins thing.
now he's rooting
against. Go back to the Raiders.
Who's wearing Commanders gear?
Go buy him a new Raiders lamp. This guy.
You only like one player. You like two. You like Terry. You don't like anybody else.
He's off the bandwagon.
He don't like NBA.
He ain't on it. He's off.
I'm telling you, he's one and done here. He's gonna underperform expectations.
The guy that's gonna underperform is Lattimore. That's the one's gonna.
It didn't look like Chris Moore was going half speed in that video,
right?
That Kittle's talking about.
I'm gonna give him a pass on that. I just think he looks heavy.
Okay, but speed was 4 and 5 years ago a big part of Debo's game. That's why he was the Yak King. Yeah, that's why they would run him the ball. He's not running guys over every single play.
He could run. He was a runner.
He was very fast. I don't know if he's still got it. It looks like he's got a problem.
All I know is Zach Ertz ain't fast and Zach Ertz gets open. I think Debo will get open and Debo will make plays.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm team Debo.
Depends on how they use him, but yes, I do believe that.
I got doubts about Debo at this point.
They might use him as a fullback.
I got questions after places. Now again, this is a 21 second video.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm overreacting a little
bit. You saw 21 seconds.
Saw 21 seconds. And you know what?
And all these
saw a lot in 21 seconds.
And then these other stories are how he's in shape. And he was in this off-season conditioning program. Now remember, it's also June 12th.
I understand.
All right. Once he gets into camp in late July, he's going to be going every day. All right. And he's going to be eating well because all those guys they're going to be watching what they're eating.
I think Debo's got gravy in his Gatorade bottle on the sideline.
He just wants to throw.
Is that a Valdez?
Wants to throw zingers. He's not seriously evaluating that. He just wants to throw zingers.
He's seriously on the wrong side of it.
I'm seriously thinking Debo is a one-year pit stop for him in D.C.
You can't not look at that video and go, whoa.
You can't look at it and say, man, Debo looks great. He looks awesome.
I saw other videos where I thought he looked great.
Can you show it to me?
From when?
Can you find it?
Not from yesterday, but from other days in practice. I don't know where to find him.
Since he's been here in D.C.?
It was on NBC4.
Just type in NBC4, Debo looks great.
You know what? Get Finley on. Finley was out there.
Finley will be very neutral. He's not going to go hard one way or the other.
Linnell Willingham's joining us at 9.
I know,
he's
been
at the OTA.
Linnell will go hard.
That's 2 hours. I want to talk about it inside 2 hours.
You need to talk about it now.
Yeah, I don't want to wait 2 hours to talk about it.
Yeah,
I understand.
All right, 800-636-1067. I think there's going to be two distinct camps. I'm certainly not in the hardcore HTTC. You could say nothing bad about my team. No, I'm a diehard, but I can say something bad about my team if it's deserved. I just think it's too early to go hard on Debo for one video. I'm team Debo until proven otherwise.
All right, here you go.
He hasn't proven anything to you. He has no equity with
this
team.
He has equity in the league, though.
He's coming off a bad year.
He has equity in the league.
And he looks fat.
He's a proven player.
Coming off a bad year, and he looks fat in the
And I'm trusting them. They're not dumb. They know what they acquired. They know him personally. They worked with him personally. They know his motor. They know his... MO.
It's an Adam Peters lottery ticket. He's hoping he can cash it at the end of this year where he's on a contract year. He knows who he was.
I'm trusting Peters' judgment though that they think that they're going to squeeze something out of this guy. Like he's going to
squeeze a lot out of him.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still team Debo.
Hold on. We're going to make another bet.
Okay.
Because
you
think he's going to suck and you think he's going to be gone.
I don't know if he's going to suck. I don't think he's going to be good enough where Adam Peters is going to say, yeah, I'm going to sign him, this guy, to a 3-year, $90 million contract. I just don't see that happening.
I think I don't know if any
team's going to do that.
Yeah, but I
mean, that's the going, like Terry's holding out for 30 plus million.
I understand that, but I don't know. Terry doesn't have the injury history that Debo does. But here you go. His total receiving yards prop for 25-26.
You're looking at the FanDuel?
It's 675.5. You want to go under that?
Hold on. This is receiving prop?
Receiving yards, 675.5.
Okay,
you want to go under?
Go under it all day long.
I mean.
I'll bet you $50 he goes
$50?
Over.
I don't need to bet 50.
So you're not that confident.
675 is not a huge number. I mean, if he plays in over a dozen games, he should hit that number.
Well, he's got to play. Of course he's got to play.
You know what? I'm TBD on that one.
Okay.
Come back to me a little bit
later.
But
he's a fat so, and he sucks, and he's not going to be here.
All right, we're
going to
take your calls next at 800-636-1067. Are you concerned about the Commanders' receiving corps? Terry's holding out. Noah Brown went out on a cart yesterday. Debo's waddling around at...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
at minicamp 800-636-1067. Call in with your concerns about the Commanders wide receiver corps. We'll take your calls next here on the Fan.
Forgot to mention we have a short show today. Toby Altizer in for JP. Short show, we only got about 40 minutes left, and we'll turn it over to Nationals baseball. They'll look to salvage a game in the series against the Mets. 110 first pitch. Nats on deck getting started at 12:40. So a nice short show today, B-Mitch.
Yeah. Like it.
So I want to talk about Marshawn Lattimore. He talked to the media yesterday, and want to play some audio from him yesterday. We'll start with a fourth cut here, Landfill. He feels like when he got over here that he pressed maybe a little bit too much to get on the field to prove for Washington that he is the player that he's always been, and maybe that led to, you know, him coming back on the field a little bit early.
I just wanted to prove that, you know, they made the right decision, you know, obviously. So I just wanted to get out there and show what I can do. But, you know, I was hurt, but I don't want to make excuses. So I was out there, If I was good enough to play, you know, I can be evaluated on that. So, you know, it is what it is. I just want to get out there this year, you know, show what I can do.
What does that feel like as a player, B-Mitch? Like, when you go somewhere new, is that something that, you know, obviously he felt it?
It's something that goes into every player. Like, I can remember, it doesn't make a difference if the team is bringing you into it or a team that's trying to give you a new move. I remember when Gus Frerot, when they gave him he became the starter. And I don't know if you ever heard the story. Gus Frerot headbutted the wall at mm-hmm. FedEx Field and knocked himself out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Doc, what the hell are you doing? And his words were, I was trying to prove to them that I'm tough. I'm like, the headbutt of the stadium proved that you're stupid. People have to understand, when you become or you get moved somewhere else, they went and got you because of what you can do. Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to go out there and try to be what you're not, in a sense? If you're hurt, be honest, or just go out there and do the regular stuff. Don't try to overdo it because you begin to make yourself look bad. And he came in here to say, yeah, y'all made the right decision. But he wasn't healthy enough to do that.
Yeah, and I think you saw that on the field,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
One of the things he said also in this was that he played timid last season. Nikki had written a story about this and talked about it earlier, that, you know, he felt like he played a little bit timid and he wasn't able to be himself last year. Here's Lattimore talking about that.
I feel a little timid, just not like physically, like, you know, not mentally, like timid, but I could tell in my game when I watch film, I could tell if I'm, how I'm stepping. You know, I look timid, you know, in my game. And now, you know, just being out there for these past 2 days, I feel way better than I did last year.
And I think you could see some of that, right? Like,
yeah,
he just didn't have that same burst.
But I don't understand why players think that when you're physically hurt or you mentally know you're hurt, that it doesn't show. So he said, not mentally, but, you know, when you're physically hurt, you mentally know you can't do it. So guess what you do? You have a slower step.
Yeah.
You know, that mentality is going to always tell what the physicality is. And I think last year, he for some reason thought he could fool himself. And he found out quickly you can't. You know, in the position he plays, if you are a moment off, that's 5 yards of separation.
Yeah.
And that looks bad.
There are certain positions where you can maybe get away with a little bit, but not that one. Right, like,
yeah.
If you're a step slow, if you're hesitant at all, especially against the receivers in this league, you don't stand a chance.
You got a problem.
And there's a reason why he struggled against Mike Evans, against A.J. Brown, against these guys, because those dudes are operating at as close to 100% as they can be at that point in the season, and you're not.
What you saw, he knows that he could play all those guys very, very physical. But he also knew something was missing in this game.
Yeah.
So what he tried to do all the extra stuff, and it cost him. The PIs and all that stuff, the holdings, it cost him. But he knew the whole time, I ain't ready for this.
Yeah, and I think you can see it. There was a play against Philadelphia. I think it was the second time they played them that they ended up winning. But he was covering A.J. Brown on the goal line. I think they were at the 2-yard line, and A.J. Brown ran a simple slant. And by the time Brown was 3 or 4 steps into his slant, Lattimore was still in a stance.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell that he just wasn't right.
Yeah, he didn't have it. And listen, man, you have to applaud him, too. He went out and gave what he could. But a player will – I don't want a player to – if the player's on the field, the way you think is if I'm going against you, I'm like, if you're on the field, you're ready to go. I'm not going to take it easy on you if you're banged up. And once you step on the field, you're telling the world you're ready to go.
Yeah.
That stuff should have been solved before he got to the field.
Well, and I think that's part of the thing. I mean, when you traded for this guy, he was injured, right? And so, to me, some of the issues for last year on Lattimore's part, I don't even know how much I blame on Lattimore. Like, you traded for a guy who was injured, and he was injured all year. Like,
yeah.
That kind of happens. That comes with the territory. I mean, you need, like you were saying, like, at some point you'd prefer him to just be honest and say, look, I don't have it.
Yeah, but I think it comes down to learning a person. And when Adam said we'll have him for a full season in our program now, which means you also get to know who he is. You know how he reacts. There are other guys that are on this team that may have an injury. No, they say they're okay, but you know that they're not because you know the person now. So I think now they've been around him long enough to understand who he is and how he reacts and how he works. And they also know he's like an AI, Allen Iverson. John say you got I'd rather calm a fool than resurrect a corpse. He's a guy that's going to try to go out there and go for it. And that's the type of guy you got to say, nah, we're going to set you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know you want to go, but I also know that you're not in a position to go out there and be who you are.
Well, and I think, you know, this is part of the reason why some people were looking at it saying, oh, you could have cut him this offseason, saved about $16 million. I don't think that was ever going to happen. But I think if they truly understand that this guy wasn't 100%, you got to see what he is at 100% before you make any move. And
they,
I think
they traded for him because they know what he could be.
Well, and part of the reason, too, you don't make a trade in season without thinking that guy's going to help you out the rest of the year. So you can't say that. But part of the reason that you go after a Lattimore versus some of the other guys that were available, this guy's under contract for this year and next.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was probably a failure of the first half season with Lattimore. Doesn't mean that this year and next year he can't still get back to a form where he becomes the Marshawn Lattimore that you traded for.
I agree. But I think what a lot of fans got to start doing, stop always throwing money into it as if you know how the money works. Like, too many people judge, oh, he we can save this money, we can save that money. This is the NFL. You know how you win? Spending damn money. If all you do is save money and don't spend money, you're not winning a lot of damn football games. And stop fooling yourselves as if you know it, because just like I said earlier, by the time Jaden comes up, it's another $40 million, maybe more than that, on the salary cap. And you can't worry about, oh, if you pay Terry, then you got to worry about Jaden. No, no, no. Terry deal will be done when Jaden deal comes up again. So let's stop always worrying about the money. Guys make a lot of money. They normally make six to eight figures in the NFL. Don't judge it based off of what you make, because you're going to always think people make too much. Hell, rookies make $800,000 basically now. You think that's too much, probably. Most people probably think that's too much.
100%.
You know what? That's what they make. That's the going rate. Stop saying it's too much. It's not too much. It's what the hell somebody gave them.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Let's get out to line one and Crazy Drew. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, guys. You know, I was calling before when you were asking who the most impactful player is going to be for the year. And, you know, one of the things that's great about football is a team sport. And I think the impact we're going to have this year is the whole offensive line. You know, for those of us who can remember the Hogs, there's not one of those guys that made the Hall of Fame, but that was the best offensive line in the history of football. And I think we're stacking up the plays. And I'd like us to be able to just inflict our will on the other team, running the ball, throwing those screens and open up Jaden. I think it could be a hell of a year if that line clicks. So that's Tunsil, but it's Tunsil and Biadasz and the new guy we just got and Coleman, the whole guys working together. You know, maybe Cosme coming back. So I'm excited to see offensive line be the identity of the football team again.
Appreciate it, Drew.
One of those guys in the Hall of Fame should be more than one, though.
100%.
I mean, that just tell you got some dumbass reporters who vote on that.
Well, and one of the things, too, when you look at the offensive line now, B-Mitch, you look at a unit that has probably five pluses across it. When you look at left tackle, Tunsil's a plus, right? Brandon Coleman's probably going to slot in left guard. You still don't know yet because he hasn't played guard, but I'm assuming I think he's going to be a pretty good guard.
He's thick. He'll be one.
Biadasz, a center, that's a plus.
Yep.
Cosme, when he returns at right guard, that's plus. A plus, maybe even a plus-plus. And then Joshua Connerly, when he slides in at right tackle, he's a first-round guy who you're going to develop into being a plus.
Being a guard or a tackle, being a swing guy,
I mean, suddenly you look across that line, B-Mitch, and that's not just, you know, two pluses and three minuses. That's five pluses.
Yeah, yeah. And you can win with that. You know, the whole thing about it is, listen, every O-line is not full of all great players. But you know what? It's not the individual talent. It's the sum of the parts. If those guys play well together, that's better than you being very good and the other guy being very good, but y'all don't have no chemistry.
Yeah.
If you don't have chemistry on the offensive line, you are not going to look good.
Let's get out to Elijah in D.C. Elijah, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, brother?
I'm confident in Lattimore's return. I think when they made this investment and they knew it was going to they knew who they were getting when they beat out some of the other teams to get them Kansas City and some of the effort that they went through to get him. I'm like, they're not going to go through that to cut him. They know what it takes in house. They know what it takes to go at that position. And I think just overall, the mindset of the defense is going to play it to his strength. He like to put hands on you early. I do think he got in trouble a lot just from, you know, he wasn't right. So he had to rely on certain things that you just don't want to have happen. So he's like, man, you try to save the game, you know, he's trying to just make sure, hey, man, our defense can just get it from this spot versus, you know, a guy scoring a touchdown. So I get it. So I think this time around, he'll be in a good situation. We'll be able to put heavier guys on different parts of the line. Don't be surprised. I think if how they move these guys around the line, I think people are like, okay, well, maybe they're just going to have a big guy in the middle. Now, I think they're going to move them based off of what they think they're going to get. If something going backside, they may say, maybe we want to be heavy over here, and we can get a heavy guy here, we can get a heavy guy over here on defense. So I think, you know, don't be surprised when they move and they're able to get more guys, even on the back end. A lot of these guys put hands on you early. But that's what I think that's going to help our pass rush out. I like the connection that's happening between the secondary and the front line. It looks like they're getting guys that complement each other versus, like, you know, just guys that don't fit with each other. So I like what's happening, and it looks like it's just going to be a lot of rotation. Like, when I'm looking at, you know, Lattimore, he's going to be a one, but I feel like it's going to be other guys that's going to take on certain roles on certain downs to just keep it advantageous. So, you know, for everybody to actually win. So just because you were one and we put you down like this, it's like, nah, man, I think they're going to rotate and move so everybody can have a chance to actually succeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
appreciate the phone call, Elijah.
That three linebacker set, certain stuff we ain't get a chance to see. We ain't see that three linebacker
100%.
Set. 100%. We didn't see the three guys up front that they were trying to do. So let's really get a chance to see as the complete picture. We didn't get a full puzzle. So I think, even myself included, I'm like, well, sometimes we're making declarations and we're saying this is things that are happening based off an incomplete puzzle.
Sure. Elijah, appreciate the phone call. Yeah. I think one thing that I really appreciate about this coaching staff, and I think it kind of opened my eyes when you heard how Dan Quinn talked about when they acquired Lattimore, is they have a plan for anybody that they bring into this organization. They understand where they're going to try to put these guys, and they'll adjust as the guys, you know, get into their system and stuff, but they have a plan. I don't think there's any doubt that the plan didn't necessarily work last year with when they got Lattimore, but doesn't mean they still don't have an idea of what they want to do with this guy. So I think when they acquired him, hearing how he talked about, you've got to go get a guy that's a lockdown corner, like you were talking about, when you get a chance to get one of those dudes, you do it. I think we still haven't seen that Lattimore yet. No. So I'm intrigued, like what Elijah's saying, we haven't even seen him at his full health in this defense and what it can be. And if you can get him healthy, I think you can have this defense going from being middle of the pack to being a really, really good defense, because it just opens up so much more.
You've been around sports long enough to understand that you can't just every time somebody don't look good right now today, you just get rid of them. But that's if you, whenever somebody comes in, they're not what they are supposed to be immediately, everybody want to just get rid of them. If you keep doing that, then guess what? You won't have anybody around. No, you won't have a damn. But it's hard to say, okay, let's get a guy a chance to show us. And then if you, sometimes when you invest a little time into something, you get more out of it. Instead of just dismissing it all the time. I hear so many people saying, get rid of, get rid of, get rid of, get rid of immediately. And I wonder, do they do the same thing in their lives? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee they got some crap in their life that they should have got rid of a long time ago. They haven't got rid of it immediately, did they?
Yeah, you just have to have some patience. And I think when they made this move, they were obviously thinking about the short term, because you don't make a move in season without that. But they were thinking about this year. They were thinking about next year. And I think when you get a true number one corner that can come in here and then help out, like, I think part of the moves this offseason might have had Lattimore in mind, like drafting an Amos, signing a Jonathan Jones. But I also think that they understood, too, that if Lattimore's just back to himself, those guys are still going to help you, and you just suddenly turn a secondary into a strength of yours again.
Remember, though, they let St. Jude's go, so they had to get another cornerback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if Lattimore was in mind or not, but they got rid of St. Jude's. That had to be filled.
Well, and again, like we were talking about with Nikki earlier, I think when you look at a potential outside corner duo of Lattimore and then Amos, and Amos is just going to get better as the season goes on, and then you have Sammer still back inside.
Igbinogheni is still here.
Yeah, like Jonathan Jones can be used inside and outside. Suddenly you've got a good secondary. I think there's some questions at safety. I think that's understandable outside of Quan Martin, who's that second safety.
Quan played very well last year, and I think they love Percy for some, like they love Percy. And Percy now he keeps getting mentioned this offseason. So guys take those steps yearly, you know. There are some guys like a Jaden who shows up and instantly you say, oh, wow, we got this. Some other guys, every year they just take those incremental steps. You know, because people always say, what's your year 4 or 5? Is the 4, 5, 6, 7 is like the prime of people's years. That's what he's in now.
Got Nats baseball coming up at 1:10. We'll get you wrapped up here and then send you over to Nats On Deck coming up at 12:40. More to come with B. Mitch and Finley next.
Right now, though, Danny, we got breaking news to tend to.
Yeah.
And we don't want to necessarily speculate, but that's kind of the gig from afar here at this point. You hope for the best. You hope it's a nothing burger. Guys get carted off all the time, and you find out that it's nothing significant. But so far, the context clues aren't great here. Noah Brown, wide receiver for the Commanders, carted off the practice field just about 14 minutes ago. Nikki Javala of the Washington Post saying he went down during 7-on-7 drills, threw his helmet after being helped to the sideline, and then got on a cart and was taken into the building.
Just stinks. I mean, as soon as you hear that phrase, carted off, you know that the best case, it's not that bad.
It's like four of the worst words strung together in football. Carted off the field. In baseball, Dr. James Andrews is like the three scary words, now I guess it would be like...
felt something pop.
Ulnar collateral ligament, maybe the three worst words. But in football, carted off the field, sometimes it's, you know, a lot of overreaction from the outside and somebody's fine. Let's hope for the best. But those aren't words you want to hear during minicamp on June 11th.
Yeah, as you said, the best case is it's not that bad. But it's not good. You don't get carted off because everything's fine. So, hopefully, you know, obviously we'll wait to hear more as we react to it. But that room, you know, changed a little bit with the introduction of Deebo Samuel and, you know, Terry McLaurin, the contract is still outstanding. So Noah Brown is a guy they brought back, very dependable. At one point last year was Jaden Daniels' favorite target for a few weeks in a row and kind of settled in to his role as kind of that 2.5, 3, whatever you want to call it. They didn't have a bona fide number two. They kind of Voltroned it with a few different receivers. But, of course, caught one of the biggest passes of the season last year, that Hail Mary, his lone touchdown for the year, but had a few big third down conversions. It was kind of that, you know, do a little bit of everything, a receiver. A guy that you'd absolutely rather have than not. This isn't the Michael Gallup tier, respectfully, of dudes that I really don't care whether they're here or not here. This is somebody that was productive when given the chance.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different groups here. You've got the... this guy will be really good at wide receiver for the Commanders this year group, and that's Terry McLaurin. And if he's healthy, right, that's the caveat, but Deebo Samuel. Then there's the you're going to get something out of him tier. Not going to be an impact player, yep, but has a higher floor than he does a higher ceiling, and that's like Noah Brown and maybe even someone like a Jalen Lane as a rookie or whatever. And then there's like whatever you get out of this guy is a plus. That's your Michael Gallups and your Chris Moores and maybe even – KJ Osborne is in that group, right? Losing Brown would be a big, big deal.
Yep.
You mentioned the injury at the end of last year after 11 games. That was a kidney. Do you remember that?
Yeah, scary as hell.
That was a really weird thing, man. I don't know all the details of what ended up being diagnosed. I just know that it was an internal injury, that the word kidney was used, and that they almost immediately said he would be out for the remainder of the season, which tells you that it was kind of ominous. But he's back. They signed him to the one-year deal. And now he's out on the practice field after catching 35 balls last year. And that 450 yards he gave him was a godsend. You know, forget the Hail Mary, which was the 52-yard touchdown to win a game in Landover and beat the Chicago Bears, which was the play of the year by anybody. But he was not on the team during training camp. I mean, he came in right before the start of the year, and where would they have been without him? Just as a depth piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they've added a ton at wide receiver this offseason. Deebo is more of a weapon than he is a traditional wideout, but I think he helps to slot Noah Brown down the depth chart narrowly because you do have a guy that could be like a two-ish. But what they want to do with Deebo Samuel presumably means you still need someone on the outside a lot,
yep,
or in the slot plenty. And so Noah Brown was going to play a ton, and hopefully he'll be perfectly healthy and still will. But in a hypothetical where let's just say he's not available for whatever reason, there's a lot more pressure on Jalen Lane, the fourth-round pick out of Virginia Tech, to figure things out pretty quickly as Debo's understudy. Maybe the guy that stands to benefit the most would suddenly be Luke McCaffrey, the third-round pick, who last year, earlier in the year, was more involved than he was at the end of the season when he became almost exclusively a special teamer. But you're 24, you were picked in the top 100, you're a big boy at 6'2 and 200, you got the bloodlines of having a dad who was a great receiver and a brother who's been an MVP-caliber player. You might need to grow up real fast here if you're Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, the opportunity might be there for him. I mean, you think about their receiver structure. It's interesting. I mean, last year, between Olamide Zaccheaus, Deami Brown, and Jamison Crowder, you pretty much had 85 catches, between those three guys. That's because nobody was their number two receiver. Noah Brown sort of was by default, but not really. I mean, your point, though, about Deebo Samuel, I think, is right on. He's, again, a 2A, a one-part slot, one-part outside, one-part running back, one-part, to me, mostly weapon. He's going to absorb a lot of those touches, and rightfully so, by the way, because he's good with the football in his hands. But you still, to your point, need the normal structure of a, quote, second wide receiver to line up opposite Terry McLaurin that can punish defenses if you tilt certain ways, right? I mean, what you're going to get at various times, inevitably, is a good matchup where a receiver that's, you know, worth the salt will be able to take advantage of the third best corner. right? I mean, that's something that's where you need to start to be able to win more often than not. And, you know, Luke McCaffrey, to his credit, was getting open at a pretty good clip, according to the advanced analytics, but didn't get a ton of targets, especially, as you said, as the season went on. Only 18 catches for him last year. The opportunity, regardless of Noah Brown's health or not, was going to be there for him this year to kind of take that step, because I think Lane now does the Luke McCaffrey returning role. Are you going to have a chance to be kind of a more of a contributor as a wide receiver? TBD. But again, you don't want to speculate. Don't know anything. Just know that Noah Brown was carted off the field. Hopefully it's minor and it's just precautionary, but golly, that all of a sudden changes that room, right?
He had a 5-catch, 60-yard game against the Giants. He had a 6-catch, 71-yard game in the division against the Cowboys last year. Of course, he went for 73 yards when the big play of the season was made on the Hail Mary, and he scored a touchdown to beat the Chicago Bears. But, I mean, there were some volume days, 4-for-58 against the Baltimore Ravens. He basically had the same role almost every single week. A lot of those, like, 15-yard dig in-breakers where, you know, he would come out of his break, have a guy plastered on his back, box him out with his big 230-pound receiver frame. And he served a nice purpose. They didn't necessarily replace that. They didn't replicate him in a younger guy. So at 29 years old, the kidney thing's behind him, but now we got to see what happened here with him getting carted off the field. But I think if we're going to have a conversation about wide receiver today, and we've probably now broken a record talking about Commanders receivers without discussing the Terry McLaurin contract. It's fascinating. Here he is not at camp, and they haven't resolved the McLaurin ongoing negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
But you've now got a guy going down potentially with a serious injury, being carted off, who is right behind him on the depth chart. So without McLaurin there, and now Noah Brown, you know, at best is just going to miss some practice time here. Deebo Samuel's in motion and moving all over the place. Your traditional receivers are Lane and McCaffrey and Osborne. Gallup's dealing with a hamstring. So it shows you you're not that far away from having a real issue at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a glaring reminder there, right? I mean, that position group was altered because of Deebo Samuel. And presumably if and when Terry McLaurin signs his deal, that's a nice 1-2 punch, not a number one and number two. It's not Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, but it's something, right? Because all you're looking for is to upgrade some of the weaponry there for Jaden Daniels, mission accomplished, adding Deebo Samuel to it. And the offensive line should be, in theory, a lot better than it was last year, especially when it comes to pass blocking, with two new tackles and Coleman getting kicked inside. So, yeah, but the unproven nature of that group. So what everybody does at this time of year is they go, well, Luke McCaffrey's, as you said, 6'2", 205, and runs this and could do that. My point is always to them, yeah, that sounds great in theory. The same way, you know, Marco Mitchell was unbelievable on paper. The same way you could name that preseason hero that was, you know, Maurice Harris or whoever you thought was going to be awesome. Everyone from Jacoby Jones to Ja'Cory Brooks to Mike Strachan to Kaz Allen. I'm looking for known commodities that have done it at the highest levels of the NFL, not in August. Respectfully. And some of those guys may take the leap and do it. There are always those stories. But until then, it's a lot of unproven. And this is where your GM kind of makes his money to me.
Yeah, if you're Terry McLaurin, obviously the worst news is going to be that any of your brothers, any of your boys goes down here. That's not what you want. But any kind of injuries at the receiver position are only going to strengthen your leverage to an extent. Because you view production at wideout an organization just as a number of catches and yards that gets divvied up.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever the pile of catches and yards from Jaden Daniels is going to be this year, and hopefully it's more attempts and it's more catches for receivers and it's more yardage for receivers because he runs less and throws more, well, automatically you just take out close to 80 of those grabs and 1,100 of those yards and you hand them to Terry McLaurin. But whatever amount you might have given to Brown, and I keep saying this, but Deebo Samuel, to me, it's not just a line-up-and-play receiver
right.
addition. He's a weapon. So, yes, will he take some catches yards away from Noah Brown? Probably. But Noah Brown traditionally may have actually been like the number two outside receiver on the depth chart at the start of today's practice in that sense.
He was going to be on probably a 50-catch pace before injuries and a couple things happened.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Happened.
Last year.
Yeah, last year.
And with Debo, I think some of that goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a 35-40 catch guy who might be outside of McLaurin and the Samuel touches, however he gets them all over the formation, number two on the team. So if you weren't to have him, I know it's a one-year deal. Almost everything they sign is a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't kind of downplay the significance that he was going to be a factor and how much that could influence things with Terry.
The Pacers' dream of their first NBA title very much alive. They're two wins away from a championship.
Indiana was great last night. I mean, across the board, offense, defense, special teams, not really special teams, coaching. The Pacers lead Oklahoma City 2-1. And I look stupid for thinking that OKC would not have a challenge in this series. Picked them in 5, said maybe 6. This thing's going to 7. It is definitely going the distance. Good morning, everybody. Max will keep you updated on day one of the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Playing relatively easy this morning. I've been watching since very early this morning. Compared to some of the dire predictions of how difficult it would be, I guess it was a little damp at Oakmont this morning. J.J. Spahn at 4-under through 9 holes is your leader so far. Rory's playing well. There are 7 or 8 guys under par right now. Now, there are another 60-something that are either even or over par, but still, 4-under is a pretty good first 9 holes for J.J. Spahn. Long way to go. Looking forward to watching it this weekend, including this afternoon when Scheffler and some of the other big names go off. I'm going to get to game two in a moment, but I wanted to start the show with this. Tap writes, Kevin, I spent time yesterday and found the same thing you did. I couldn't find one NFC East prediction for the Commanders. All Eagles. Seems crazy we're not getting more respect after winning 12 games last year. Tap, I'll remind you, we actually won 14 games, if you count 2 road playoff games, which were really more important than the 12 that got them there. No, the 12 got them there and allowed for that. I pointed out yesterday that, you know, we're now into that time of the year where you start to see all of the, you know, it used to be a race for some of us to Street and Smith and Sporting News, you know, actual magazines that had all of the preseason predictions. I don't even know if they print Street and Smith anymore or Sporting News or any of those. But we are at that point in the football calendar where these are going to start coming out. All of the preseason predictions will start to come out, and obviously we'll get to many more of them in the days right before the season begins. But yeah, I pointed out that I think I had read like 10 different, and some of them were super obscure, you know, NFC East predictions for next year. And by the way, I failed to point out everybody had Washington as a wild card team except for one, I think. I think there was one that I read that didn't have Washington as a wild card team. Look, first of all, none of it matters. They're going to go ahead and play the games anyway, regardless of what the predictions are. Secondly, we know this about the NFL. The NFL just changes so much. It's year to year. It's month to month. It's really week to week. Somebody like Washington last year is going to rise up from out of nowhere. You know, it's going to be maybe it's a New England with Drake May in the AFC East. Maybe it is a Raiders with Geno Smith in the AFC West. Maybe it's Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson in year one with the new coach in the NFC North. You know, the 49ers were a last place team last year. Maybe it's the Niners that end up, you know, winning the NFC West. I mean, you know, all of these. There was a stretch, I think it was 14 consecutive years from like 2004 through 2018 or something like that, in which on average about 48% of the playoff teams were teams that were not in the postseason the year before. And therefore, in most of those instances, they weren't predicted to be playoff teams either. So that's the nature of this time of year. I mean, the NFL is the ultimate, you know, coin flip league. I think that until Washington proves that their roster is significantly improved, then it only makes sense that the Eagles be the pick to win the NFC East. First of all, recent impressions, you know, recency bias. The Eagles were dominant in the Super Bowl. They were dominant down the stretch of the season. They have, I think, debatably the best 1 through 53 roster in the league. And Washington's roster, we talked about it going into the NFC title game last year. There were only two or three players you could take from Washington's 22 starters and say they would definitely start for Philadelphia. You know, Jaden for one, Terry maybe. I think I'd put him ahead of Devontae Smith. And then maybe a guy like Frankie Louvu, you know, or Wagner. I don't know. The Eagles were so good on defense. It'd be hard to take anybody from Washington's defense and put him into the starting lineup of Philadelphia's defense. But I get it. I guess one of the reasons I brought it up yesterday is I thought people who tend to follow the league for a long period of time will go out on a limb, and it's not even going out on a major limb, and predict things that are, you know, maybe against the grain. And look, one of the things that would not be against the grain is that the NFC East has not had a repeat champion, as we all know, since 2004. I mean, 20 consecutive years of a new champion each season. And so the obvious selection this year, if it continues, it would be Washington. But again, none of this really matters. It really doesn't. They are going to play these games, and the season will develop and grind over 18 regular season weeks, 17 games in ways that we can't even imagine right now. That's the thing, is like all of the definitive, conclusive kind of opinion making this time of year. It's so silly when it comes to this league. The only thing you can count on, really, is teams that have great quarterbacks. But even then, you are susceptible to that quarterback going down and changing completely the team season. And that's the position that Washington's never been in and is now in. And that's the comfort, is that if Jaden Daniels stays upright and healthy, doesn't mean they're going to win 12 games again. Doesn't even mean they're going to be in the postseason again. Cincinnati's got Joe Burrow, and they weren't in the playoffs last year, but they did win 9 games, and they had a fighting chance down the stretch. And I think when you have that, when you've got elite-level quarterback play, that's what you're pretty much guaranteed of year in and year out if the quarterback is healthy. You're guaranteed to have a team that will more likely than not win more games than it loses. Even if it's like Cincinnati last year, one game more, which wasn't enough to make the postseason. Washington won 12 last year with a bad defense. But look at what they had at quarterback. Look at what they had as an offense because of that quarterback. I don't think we're going to get anything less than that offensively. I understand that the schedule on paper right now looks much tougher. But again, you know, going into these NFL seasons, that's about the only thing you can count on. You know, Buffalo is going to be a team that wins more games than it loses because of Josh Allen. Same with Baltimore, as long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy. Same with Kansas City, as long as Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. Cincinnati should still win more games than it loses, as long as Joe Burrow's out there throwing it to T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And they had to fight to get there last year. Man, you go back and you look at Cincinnati's season last year, they lost so many games they should have won. They lost a game to Kansas City in week 2, remember? There was a penalty late in the game that crushed them. They had a missed field goal and got very conservative in overtime against Baltimore, ended up losing that game. They had that other Baltimore game that they lost when they went for 2 at the end. I think they went for 2 at the end and lost. I mean, they had so many games right there. Like the game, I'm looking at it right now. Their losses were by, listen to this. Cincinnati went 9-8 last year, okay? Their losses were by 6, 1, 5, 3 in overtime. They lost by 20 to Philadelphia. And then they lost by 1, 7, and 6. Every single loss was by a touchdown or less, with the exception of getting pounded by Philadelphia at home in late October. And that's what Joe Burrow playing 17 games guarantees you. You're going to be a team that more likely than not is going to win more than you lose and is going to have a really good chance in the games that you lose, is what they had. And that's what I think Washington has now. But, you know, in thinking about the upcoming season, when you take all of those other teams that don't have Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, and I think Daniels is in that category now, it's basically a 7-10 to 10-7 league. You know, you stay healthy, you got a chance to win 10. You don't stay healthy, you're probably going to win 7 or closer to 7. Maybe it's a 6-11 to 11-6 spread, somewhere in there. And you just don't know because you can't predict health. I mean, in looking at the NFC looks loaded, like it really does. We've talked a lot about that, with obviously the Eagles having maybe the best roster in the league. Detroit, 2 new coordinators, but a really good roster. You know, in that division, the Packers have a decent roster. The Vikings have a decent roster, but questions at quarterback. Chicago has a good roster, questions at quarterback, but a new head coach. Tampa, well-coached and a decent football team, but they're not elite at quarterback with Baker Mayfield. And then, you know, Matt Stafford is close enough to that category of elite where you got to figure if he plays 17, the Rams have a good chance to win more than they lose. And I keep an eye on San Francisco this year. I think people have written their obit a bit too prematurely. God, there are some teams in the NFC. And obviously in our division, you know, it's Philly and Washington in terms of the two best teams. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but you could certainly argue Dallas's roster is equal to or better than Washington's. But I take number 5 over Dak Prescott every day of the week, twice on Sunday. All right, thank you, Tap. Yeah, we're going to see that. Who cares? Who cares? Man, in thinking just about one other thing as it relates to this, I really wish that the schedule makers had given us one of the 2 Philadelphia games much earlier in the season. I didn't need it opening night, because I think, you know, week one is always a major head fake. But sometime, you know, in October, early November, you know, a heavyweight showdown in the NFC East. And instead, we got to wait until December 20th. You know, one of the things that I loved about last year and talked a lot about it is just the idea that after kind of not being a part of the rivalries in the NFC East for so long because the team was so bad and so mocked by the other three. I mean, Dallas-Philadelphia has been in the 21st century the rivalry in the NFC East. And then certainly the Giants and Eagles and Giants and Cowboys have played more meaningful games in the 21st century than Washington has with any of the three teams. And one of the things that I loved about last year is this return to kind of feeling like, hey, we're now a relevant member of the NFC East again. And what comes with that are heavyweight matchups against our, you know, historical rivals. And it looks like last year was the beginning of maybe something where Washington and Philadelphia for the next several years takes over the top rivalry, you know, position on the rivalry mantle in the NFC East. They played three times. When you play three times in a year, that's the beginning of something. You know, that was kind of what Pittsburgh and Baltimore, how they started off. They played in the playoffs a couple of times, head-to-head. You know, playing Philly in the NFC Championship game, not even in a wild card round game or a divisional round game, but in the final four, the final two of the NFC. I really, you know, I know we talked about this when the schedule came out, but man, it seems like to me, and we had our guy on the show, Mike North, and he's great in talking about the schedule and some of the reasons why. The bottom line is, you know, one of the reasons Philly and Washington are closing the season against each other is that they just view Dallas and Philadelphia as more marquee. Still, they do. I would have loved to have had just give me one of those two Philly games much earlier. What if we get to December 20th? I mean, that's the third to last game of the year. That may not be... That game might be meaningless. And certainly the finale could be meaningless. But what could also be the case, obviously, is you've got 11-3 Philadelphia, 11-3 Washington, playing it out over twice over the final 3 weeks. That would be thrilling, for sure. And, you know, let's hope that that ends up being the possibility. All right. Yeah. Tap, thanks for that. And I know that this time of year, you know this too. It doesn't mean anything, but it's justified. I mean, if I were being super objective and not having any sort of contrarian thought, you know, utilized, I'd look at the two, you know, rosters. I'd say, yeah, Philly probably wins the NFC East by a game over Washington. You know, they go 12-5, Washington goes 11-6, something like that. But Washington ends up having a really good chance to be a 5 seed, you know, the first wild card team, you know, and play maybe, you know, the NFC South winner again, like Tampa on the road in the first round, something like that. I certainly wouldn't pick Washington in the NFC any worse going into next year than, say, the second wild card team, which is what they were last year. I could certainly see a scenario in which the NFC West produces two high-level teams as well in the 49ers and the Rams. I could see that in the NFC North. We saw it last year, obviously, with Detroit and Minnesota. Minnesota is really an interesting squad. You have no idea what you're going to get with J.J. McCarthy. He's not played one NFL regular season game. By the way, you know who the backup is? Actually, I don't know if he's won the backup position, but Sam Howell is in Minnesota. And by the way, that is a great spot for him. A great spot for him. I do think he's got some talent. I do think he is a backup quarterback in the league. I think that there was some concern after he really looked horrible in his limited opportunities in Seattle last year that he might actually end up out of the league. But to be in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, that gives you, you know, that's a top four or five or five situation for a quarterback. So if J.J. McCarthy doesn't, you know, work out, or if he doesn't get healthy, could Sam Howell be Sam Darnold for the Vikings? I don't know that he could be Sam Darnold. Darnold had major flaws, too, that were really exposed in the final two games of the season last year. By the way, you know, Sam Darnold went to Seattle. There have been stories written out of Seattle that Sam Darnold has not looked good, and a guy like Jalen Milroe, who they picked in the draft, could actually end up being the starting quarterback in Seattle. I find that hard to believe. They paid Darnold not a lot. Darnold did not get, you know, we talked about this towards the end of last year. Nobody lost more money in two games in recent NFL history than Sam Darnold did. Sam Darnold was headed towards a massive contract, and he was so awful against Detroit in that season finale for the number one seed. And then the game he had against the Rams in the postseason was a guy that, you know, his flaws were exposed. He just doesn't see it quickly enough. He can throw it. He's mobile, you know, and if number one's there, man, he can zing it in there. But he doesn't see it quickly enough. And he was sacked, what, 8, 9, 10 times in that playoff game against the Rams, and threw the ball basically, you know, to the almost the other team three times in the end zone on fourth downs against Detroit. But anyway, yeah, Minnesota to me is an interesting team. So well coached, excellent defensively, well coached defensively, but of the teams in the NFC North, they're the ones with a big question mark at quarterback. I mean, I guess you, Caleb Williams is a question mark, but Goff, Jordan Love, you've got to expect Caleb Williams, if he's going to be anything, to take a jump this year with Ben Johnson. But we have no idea what J.J. McCarthy is going to be. Although McCarthy, too, like Sam Howell, as his backup or third stringer, has the benefit of having an incredible quarterback coach. All right, the NBA playoffs last night. I'm going to get to it in this next segment. That game was... I know that I sort of go overboard on these playoff games. That's about as intense defensively for 48 minutes by both teams in a game, in any sport, you will ever see. Why did Indiana prevail? I'll have the answer for you, my opinion, next.
Welcome back, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. I really like that answer from Nikki talking about Trey Amos thinking that he could end up starting week one. If that's the case, B. Mitch, and you've got a trio.
That's why you draft them.
Lattimore, Amos, Samristil. Because I think Samristil, like we were talking the break.
Samristil played way better last year.
Samristil is a dog. But could you imagine him back in the slot where he can play the run a little bit more? He can be a little. He can be used as a blitz tool.
Yep.
He could be incredible.
He can do whatever. The thing about him is he's a student of the game. But I think he's not given enough credit for how well he did play. Early on, yes, he was finally feeling his way. But by the end of the season, he was playing outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
At the position.
And outside, too.
In the game against Detroit, listen to me. You watch the whole – watch the play from start to finish with Jameson Williams. People tried to act like he was beat. No, no, no. He baited the hell out of him. If he was just sitting – and then right when the ball, the last thing, he just ran in and boom. It wasn't like he had to make a spectacular play. He knew, former receiver. He ran the ball.
Yeah.
He tracked the ball better than Jameson Williams did because he was trying to go to the back of the end zone and just wait for the drop. The ball was falling short. And now I think Mikey knew that the whole time.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he's going to be one of the guys that I think you could throw in the answer of this question that we have. Who's going to be the most important commander outside of Jaden Daniels this upcoming season? You'd like to hop in, feel free, 800-636-1067 on the listener lines. Most important player outside of Jaden Daniels. I think there's a couple ways you can go with this. I think one of the guys that I would go with here, B-Mitch, I think on the offensive line, it's part of why you traded for him. I think it opens up a lot because you're able now to help some of the guys on the rest of the offensive line. It maybe opens up the playbook a little bit more. But Laremy Tunsil, a left tackle that allows you to go one-on-one on that side, and you don't. Jaden doesn't have to worry about his blind side. You don't have to chip over there. You don't have to help out. And there are some demons in this division for pass rushers. If you can find ways that he can go one-on-one with Parsons, if Parsons is on that side, and you don't have to help, or whoever it may be. You've got some really good pass rushers in this division, and if you've got a stud left tackle, it frees up so much of your offense by not having to constantly chip like they did last year.
I was immediately thinking Laramie Tunsil, and I agree with you on that because you want your quarterback not to worry about that right his blind side. And if Jaden can just eliminate that and do whatever else he needs to do, you make him even better. And anybody that makes that dude better, they're vitally important to me. You know what I'm saying? When you have a quarterback of his caliber, I go with the offensive lineman or anybody else on the offensive line. Because I watched last year how our offense made our defense better and more efficient. Because our offense would go out there and get 8-minute, 10-minute, 12-minute drives, touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That team comes on the field, you know what they're doing? They're tossing it. So the defense was able to, they know that they're not running the ball. So they play more of a pass offense. They're playing against a pass defense to combat their offense, and they were more effective with it. And the fact that people were throwing a lot on them, look how good they were overall.
Yeah.
You know, people sit here and act like we were horrible on defense. We weren't horrible. Because your offense puts so much stress and pressure on a coordinator on the other side that he cannot call his whole playbook. He calls a certain side of it. And any defensive coordinator in the world will tell you, if you're only calling running plays or passing plays, it's easy for me to stop you. But when I don't know what you're running and you can do anything, it's a problem. But I'm going to go with the offensive line, but Larry Tunsil's also leading the way.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in on the listener lines. I think on the defensive side of the ball, B-Mitch, for me, I think we were talking about it with Nicky. I think he's the linchpin of how good this defense can be. It's Marshawn Lattimore. Like, if you've got a true number one that you can stick on, again, just like there's great pass rushers in this division, there's great receivers. If you've got somebody that you can leave one-on-one and trust with CeeDee Lamb, you got someone that you can trust with A.J. Brown, it totally changes how you play defense.
And
I think you saw that from them last year. I think they started to try to change how they wanted to play, but then they realized Lattimore wasn't the same Lattimore. But when you have a guy that you can just leave over there, it's – So I come back to this example all the time. It's a different sport, but it was something that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to how impactful sometimes guys can be. So when I was in Milwaukee, B-Mitch, they went on their NBA Finals run. They had P.J. Tucker, who they traded for, and they were facing Kevin Durant in, I think, the conference semifinals. And P.J. Tucker was guarding Kevin Durant, and Durant would get his.
Yep.
Durant would go out there and score 35. But the whole point of his defense was you're never going to have to help off of anybody else.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think having a guy like Lattimore, even if he's lined up on A.J. Brown and A.J. Brown still goes 3-4 catches, 50, 60 yards, if you don't have to roll safety coverage over the top, if you don't have to allocate extra resources to slow down A.J. Brown, that helps with the rest of your defense, even if he still gets a little bit of his.
Yeah, because you're not going to completely stop no very good receiver, not in this league, not the way the rules are set up.
Exactly.
But if you can just make it to where instead of them going to him 8 times, they go to him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because a receiver that's covered or closely covered, quarterback moves off of him. And if Marshawn Lattimore is at the level he was in previous years in New Orleans, if he's there and you make Jalen Hurts go away from A.J. Brown and go to somebody else, and that guy you have two people checking him, that's your benefit. You know, so that can help out tremendously. If you got a shutdown corner, a lockdown corner. No, not shutdown, lockdown. Shutdown doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You got a lockdown corner in your defensive backfield, your defense will be better.
Yeah, and it allows you to play the run a little bit more. Yeah. You can put more people in the box if you need to. It just opens up so much more. So I think on the offensive side, like you said, offensive line, Laramie Tunsil, defensive side, I think for me it's Lattimore. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Who's the most important commander outside of Jaden Daniels, obviously? Let's get out to line one, Blake in Wilmington. Blake, what's going on?
What's up, guys? I think it's going to be Deebo Samuel. I think when you give up assets
in any year, he immediately becomes your most important player. You know, when you got a quarterback like Jaden and you got this time period, you get a weapon like Debo, you need him to stay healthy. I think he just automatically becomes your most important player this season. Thank you, guys.
Hi, man.
Yeah, and I think Debo on
that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Debo is going to be a important player, but not the most important player.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think he opens up a lot for this offense.
If Terry still, when Terry signs, I'm going to speak of positivity. When Terry signs and come back in here, he's still your most potent weapon.
Yes.
That makes it easier for Debo. Then Debo may be able to pull some people down to help Terry. So those two are working in unison, but I don't know if it's just because you give up assets to somebody, they become your most important player.
Well, and they gave up more assets for Tunsil. That's
so that's your most important player.
But I think when you look at what he's talking about with Debo, I think it opens up a little bit of what they're trying to do, where I think last year they had, because of the lack of run game in the second half of the year, and they didn't really have a guy that was potent in the screen game. They had a decently effective screen game, but it wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But now having a guy that you feel like you've got to make sure doesn't get off when you throw him a quick bubble screen, I think that's going to open up a little bit of what you're talking about with Terry.
Yeah.
So I think in tandem, those two work together. But I would still say Terry's more important.
Terry, they started to use Terry in the bubble screens last year, and you saw what he did, spit and just went to the house.
Yeah.
Debo, I think, will be more effective in this offense than he was in San Francisco's offense. And my reasoning is this. Everyone looks at him, and they know he's a receiver. But they judge him based off his size. Oh, he's out of shape. No, he's not out of shape. He's 225 pounds. 220, 225. That's why, and he's only, what, about 6 feet at most. He's built like a running back.
Yeah.
But he's not a running back.
Yeah.
And San Francisco tried to utilize him more as a running back inside the tackles. He's been hit by tackles, DNs, and linebackers. This offense utilizes him on the edges, where he's going to deal with some linebackers, outside linebackers, safeties, and cornerbacks. They don't want to deal with him. And I think that right there is going to help him out more because he has the quickness. He's fast as hell, but he's tougher. I don't care what anybody says. There's been some great cornerbacks in the league. Ain't none of them great tacklers. None of them.
It's true.
Okay, they cover. And they will tell you, I was paid to cover, not tackle. All right? And if he's on the edge dealing one-on-one with them, they're going to have problems trying to stop that dude.
Yeah, and even when you look at linebackers in the modern NFL, he's 220. It's not like linebackers are old that are 250. Like, these linebackers are maybe 10 pounds more than these.
A lot of linebackers are 225 on the edges now.
Yeah.
You know, guys in the inside are playing at 230, 235. But the thing about it is, guys that are built like him and lift like him, okay, they know how to have leverage against those guys on the edges. And I've seen him use a stiff arm, which is a forgotten art. Put that stiff on somebody, they push you forward. So, I mean, I'm excited about him in his offense because I know Cliff is chomping at the bit for it.
800-636-1067. Let's get out to Akko in Ohio on line two. What's going on, man?
How you doing? It's Oko.
Oko,
what's
bad.
Up, brother?
Yeah, no problem. I'll go Laramie Tunsil for three reasons. One, obviously, you know, we have a quarterback as good as Jaden Daniels. Number one priority has to be to protect him. Like, if you look at Cincinnati, you know, luckily Joe Burrow, he recovered from his ACL injury, but that's luck, you know, so we don't want that for Jaden. Number two, I think he opens up the playbook. I think we have somebody that can block like Laramie Tunsil. There's just, like, a lot more you can do. He's very athletic and big. And then number three, I'd say just the mentorship. You know, we just drafted a left tackle in Josh Connelly Jr. We assume that he'll get that right tackle spot. We saw what Mariota did for Jaden last year, being that veteran presence, and I think Tunsil can be that for Connelly. So I'll go Laramie Tunsil.
Good stuff,
appreciate
brother.
The Good phone stuff. Call. Yeah, and I think, too, you know, I think for the most part people wanted an edge rusher in the draft, but there was some discussion about a running back in the first round, which I don't know how real that was. There was also discussion about a wide receiver, and people wanted some explosive playmaker or something in the offense. And I think the way that they went about it, which shows how mature of an approach Adam Peters has, is they said, look, we don't necessarily need the explosive playmaker. We need to make sure we have protection so we can get it to the playmakers we have.
Yeah, true.
And that's what they did.
You know what can make the playmakers you have explosive? If their line is blocking better and they don't get touched until they're three,
exactly
4 yards
right
down the field. We may have an explosive playmaker on a team that happened to come in the seventh round.
I love that guy,
okay,
too.
Okay, Kroski Merritt, he got screwed by the NCAA, didn't get a lot of play. But then when he went where all the stars were of college in the East-West Shrine game, who got the MVP?
Yeah, he did just
fine. Who stood out? So that kid, yes, I know most people, oh, he's a seventh rounder. Don't be fooled by the round someone's drafted. Sometimes you get drafted in a certain round because you went to a certain school. But once you get into training camp, the coaches go, oh, this dude could play. That kid, I think, is going to make a difference throughout this year.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Who's the most important Washington Commander this season outside, of course, the most important Jaden Daniels? We'll continue talking about it next year on The Fan.
Time to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to our station mate, Linnell Willingham, 106.7 The Fan Overtime host. He's been out at Commander's OTAs. He's a Magruder Colonel doing big things. What's up, Linnell?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
What's Linnell's deal? Is he still, like, trashing us sometimes on the air? He's a wild card. What does
no
he do?
Idea. I mean, I don't know.
Huh?
I mean,
Linnell, what are you doing?
I'm just vibing, guys. Just vibing, enjoying the show, and listening.
Right.
You guys have been great.
Well, of course. Of course. All right, so here's my first question. This is very in-depth reporting. This is very probing. Is Debo fat?
I think that has been, like, I've seen some of the stuff on social media, him, like, not going, people saying he's not, doesn't look fast going at full speed. The video that's circulating right now is from a team install period. If anyone's played football at the high school level, at least, you understand when you're installing stuff, not running at 100% full tempo because you're learning a play. So I just think there's this narrative out there that surrounded Debo, and it's fair. He's missed some time over the past couple of years. There was the story in San Francisco last camp that he was out of shape. But I continue to go back to the guy had pneumonia. If any of us had pneumonia, we wouldn't even be able to show up to work, let alone try to play football. So I think he's in a massive prove it year. He looks to be in great shape. I actually, guys, I follow him on Instagram. He's working out twice a day. He's posting workouts. He got his boys working out with him. It's been cool to see him taking it super serious. I've got to believe that narrative bothers him, but like getting eyes on him up close in person, I wouldn't call him fat by any stretch.
So when you see him working out and running, you know, routes and everything, he looks good.
He does, and I think they've made a concerted effort, especially without Terry McLaurin being out there, to get him the football during these team periods and the 7-on-7 stuff. I think he's going to be a big part of the offense. I've said it, you know, a couple of different times on air. I think he leads this team in touchdowns this year. Cliff Kingsbury hasn't had a weapon like this in his offense since he's been in the National Football League, and I think they're going to find just a multitude of different ways to get him the ball in space. And, you know, we'll see whether he has it or not. Here's the thing, right? Like, there's no pads on right now. It's mandatory minicamp. The vibes are sky high. We'll find out, though, sooner rather than later, if he was in shape or not. And we'll get to make our judgment.
So, Linnell, I'm going to assume you're thinking I may have been a bit rash when I made a bet.
Yeah, I made a bet a little too far
that Debo will be a one and done here in Washington because he will underwhelm. Do you think that's a terrible bet at this point?
Look, him being a one-and-done could be because he plays well and he outprices himself here from Washington. You got to think
excellent
about
point,
what they're
young
already
man.
Committing.
Excellent point, young man.
You got to realize what they're already committing at the wide receiver spot. They've spent two, you know, pretty significant draft picks on, you know, Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey in the past two seasons. And then, you know, Terry McLaurin is on his way to a $30 million a year extension. So I think at the end of the day, the numbers game may not play out in his favor, but I think him being one and done doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing. And who knows? Like, they'll have the franchise tag at their disposal. They really want to keep him. I think they'll be able to.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Either way, I win the bet. If he just plays here 1 year and then he goes signs with the Dolphins,
yeah, but you
I still win the bet.
You asked the question and you used the word underwhelm.
I did.
So that's why you think he'll be a one and done.
True, but that's not the parameters
of the
bet.
Yeah, but that's not the parameters of the bet.
All right.
So I think made a brilliant
he could back his way.
I think Debo is going to have a good year. I think he's going to have combined touchdowns with receiving and rushing. I think he's going to be close to what he was in 23, which was 12. I'm not saying he'll get 12. I think he'll be in that 9-10 range. I don't think he'll get 12, but I hope I'm wrong. But I think he's going to have a big year.
What is your take on the Terry situation?
It's complicated. I understand it completely from both sides. I think here's the reality of the situation, though. Terry McLaurin has all the leverage in the world. When he first signed his contract extension a couple of years ago, he only signed for 3 years to set himself up for another big-time payday, and then boom, in a contract year, he goes out and has the best year of his career. So he has earned the right to get that, you know, near top of the market type of deal. Here's the thing when we evaluate the wide receiver position. And I understand Terry. I don't think anybody up here would call him a top five guy. But when you consider the depth of the position, we're talking about the deepest position group in all of the NFL, he's definitely in that 10 to 12 range. And I think when you look at the production and the consistency without a quarterback and then you insert a legitimate franchise guy last year, you kind of saw the benefits of it. The only thing that I get frustrated with, and maybe frustrated is too strong of a word, if you were the Commanders, the vibes are sky high right now. Why would you want to have this distraction looming over you as you get geared up to go into that dead period of the offseason? I understand it's negotiations and, you know, it's got to play itself out. But, like, at this point, if you're the team, like, there's no way you're not going to get this deal done. So what are we waiting for? It's kind of my thought process with it.
What about this? So how many times have you been out there quite a few days? For these?
I've been out there every day they've been out there.
You've been every day they've been out there. What's been your take on Jaden? Is there anything that you've noticed different? Like that one picture where he looked all jacked, was that just like good lighting that day? Does he look like his arm's a little stronger, or is it just you can't really tell?
I mean, he looks like he picked up right where he left off in January. You got to think about the way he played down the stretch. You really saw the best version of him, really starting in that Atlanta game on Sunday night where he, you know, straps the team to his back like a jetpack. He is just going to continue to get better. This year, with the offensive line being revamped the way that it is, I think you'll see the passing numbers take a little bit of a jump. Maybe the rushing totals aren't as high, but I do think he'll have, you know, a tremendous year statistically. In terms of something that's stood out here in the first couple of days, it's kind of hard to tell. He's consistent. That's the one thing I can describe him as, is consistent. I've been out there the last couple of training camps, and I said it last year when we were out there watching him for the first time after watching Carson Wentz up close in person, Taylor Heineke up close in person, Sam Howell up close in person. This is a professional guy at the position. I'll give you a little anecdote from practice yesterday. So the first day of mandatory minicamp, the offense really lit the defense up. And yesterday, it felt like the defense came out with an added chip on their shoulder, is how I would describe it. And we obviously saw the Noah Brown injury that we'll get to here in a second. But he's taking the defense off because the offense has been so good. You saw this last year during training camp as well. And I think what the defense has to realize, and what Joe Witt and company have to realize, is when you're going up against a bona fide top five guy in the league, your defense is going to get beat. It's not an indictment of your group, but I definitely think the defense took the first day of mandatory minicamp personally in how they practiced yesterday.
Linnell, I saw you tweeting about an impressive pass breakup by Lattimore. I believe it was on Noah Brown before with the injury. Give us the skinny on Lattimore. We know the last season was kind of a lost season for him coming in from New Orleans with that hamstring injury. He was never quite right. What should we expect from him year two here in Washington?
Can we debut a nickname for Marshawn Lattimore here on the Junks?
Sure.
Southeast Sean. Southeast Sean is what we call him.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a big-time bounce-back year. The play on Noah Brown yesterday was just peak Marshawn Lattimore. He sits down in the stance. He's patient. And then you see him break and drive on the football. The explosiveness is there. We got the chance to talk to him post-practice. And this was probably the first time, you know, any of us have really heard him be transparent about what the injury status was for him last year. he gutted through it. He admitted that, you know, he probably pushed himself further than maybe he should have because he wanted to prove himself to the team. All the frustration about, you know, him, you know, trash talking and then not being around during the voluntary session, it kind of makes up for it when you're that open and honest. But the thing that was interesting to me, Lattimore did not show up to the voluntary workouts, but when he came to the mandatory work, he's been thrown in there right away. He's done everything. He's done every team drill. He's participated in individuals. So he is 110% healthy. If that is the case, we know what he is when he's healthy. I mean, this is a bona fide top 5 to 7 corner in the sport. He locked down one half of the field. The big question is, can they keep him healthy? One thing they did last year, and we all talk about, you know, the injury bug and not having it hit you, is kind of a luck thing. There was a preventative maintenance I saw from the team last year starting in training camp with Ertz, Eckler, Bobby Wagner. I think they'll put Lattimore, you know, under that same umbrella, so to speak, in terms of being just patient with him and allowing him to move at his own speed, because you do not want to push him too hard and have himself, you know, get injured again.
What about the rookies? Any of the rookies standing out, even, you know, on the offensive line, or Jalen Lane, any of these guys? Especially Lane, because I really think he's going to play a big part.
Yeah, the Jalen Lane thing is interesting to me, and I think he's one of the beneficiaries of Terry McLaurin not being out there. Mm-hmm. You get to see him lining up at a bunch of different spots in the slot on the outside. They're going to find a way to get him the football in space. I think a lot of people, you know, consider him in year one. I feel like people are just setting the expectation for special teams, especially when you consider Noah Brown going down yesterday. He is going to have an opportunity to carve out a role for himself on the offensive side of the football right away. I'm a loser and watch Get Up in the Morning. And Peter Schrager, now of ESPN, was on there. And he randomly name-dropped Jalen Lane as someone that's going to be a big part of this offense. It wouldn't have mattered to me, but Peter Schrager is like best friends with Cliff Kingsbury. So if he's saying it, you wonder him and, you know, Cliff are having late-night conversations and saying, hey, blanket, Peter, where we're going to have to get him involved early and often. I think he'll be huge for them. Just adding speed is a big thing for them, and I think that was a goal of the offseason. They accomplished it by drafting him. On the defensive side of the football, Kane Medrano yesterday, their sixth-round rookie out of UCLA, made a couple of plays in coverage, and then you saw him punch the football away from Deebo Samuel and force a fumble. His role is going to be interesting. I think he's going to be, you know, competing for that third linebacker spot. We know Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner will be two of the backers when they're in base. But I think it's really like a three-man competition for that third spot between Dom Hampton, last year's seventh-round pick, Kane Medrano, and then Jordan McGee, last year's fifth-round pick, who has looked, you know, just excellent, you know, to this point in terms of just physically mature, fast, physical guy. So I think Medrano's going to have a chance to compete for the third linebacker spot. Trey Amos on the outside has been really sticky in coverage to start. That guy has a swagger about him in terms of just being confident and everything that he does. But one thing we've noticed, and we saw this last year with Jaden and Brandon Coleman, he's not going to start right off the rip. I don't think they're just going to hand him the job. When they go base defense in the first 2 days of mandatory minicamp, we've seen Jonathan Jones, the veteran from New England, on the outside, and then we've seen Marshawn Lattimore on the outside with Samer still in the slot. So I wouldn't hit the panic button if you don't hear about him, you know, getting first-team reps right off of the rip because of what Washington has at the position. But I do think he'll ultimately, you know, play his way onto the field at some point.
But now, how close were you to Noah Brown when he went down with the injury yesterday? And when can we expect to hear any sort of update about his status?
Are people even saying if it's like a knee, or are they just saying nothing?
It's a knee.
It's a knee, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The reaction that he had, it. I don't want to speculate, obviously. It's tough for you. But it seemed like a knee. It was a play where they're at 7-on-7, and Jaden throws him – Jaden or Marcus either throws him the football, and Will Harris, Washington's new safety from New Orleans, kind of came bearing down over him. I mentioned the chippiness of practice yesterday, and I'm not trying to get them fined or get them in trouble or anything, but it was a pretty ramped-up practice for it to be a mandatory minicamp session, and you saw Noah go down for a ball, and it looked like Harris was bearing over him, and then you kind of saw everyone gasp, and he had to get helped off the field to the sideline, and he initially gets helped off the field to the sideline. Then they cart him to the back. Now, where we were standing, you know, relative to the play, when they're carting him up, obviously you're riding on this cart and you got to get inside the building. There are bumps. He hit a bump and on the cart and let out the most terrifying, treacherous scream you'll ever hear in your life. So that really kind of provided some context. This may be something that keeps him out for an extended period of time. But like I said, I don't want to speculate. We'll probably get some sort of an update, I would think, before they break practice.
He didn't
today.
Dislocate it, did he? It wasn't that bad, was it?
Don't know.
I don't know. But the scream that he let out when they hit the bump going in back inside the building, it's something.
You
feel bad for him.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
He hadn't been able to stay healthy.
If that's the case, and let's just assume he's out for a while, if not the whole year, because if it's a serious knee injury, he's out. Does that mean they just look at one of these other guys like the Jalen Lanes of the world, or maybe even a Gallup or a Ja'Cory Brooks and move them up the depth chart? Or do you think they go out and look for another guy?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it. Based off of their track record, right, we were all, you know, clamoring for Noah Brown last year when they were talking about need a wide receiver two. I think they're going to go with the in-house guys, you know, to start here. Luke McCaffrey's been someone that, you know, here in year two has made some plays over the first couple of days in mandatory minicamp. You mentioned Ja'Cory Brooks. He's made a couple of, you know, interesting contested catches. Chris Moore, a veteran, you know, pretty unheralded guy that's kind of stepped in for Terry McLaurin at the outside receiver spot, has made some plays. But I think the guys in-house ultimately will be able to, you know, kind of help stomach his loss. If they do go outside of the organization to bring in a body, I don't think it's going to be a big-name guy like Keenan Allen or something like that. I think it would be somebody that, you know, help them provide some, you know, added depth. But when you think about what they've spent in terms of draft capital at the position, you spent the third and the fourth, you know, consecutive years on McCaffrey and Lane. So, I mean, you're kind of built for this situation. It is tough, though, because Noah Brown was having a good start to the offseason. And as you saw last year when he was healthy, he does different things and provides a different body type for this receiver room and for this offense. So hopefully he's able to get back sooner rather than later.
Linnell, thanks for the intel, man. We appreciate the time.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, bro.
Yep, that's Linnell Willingham, 106.7 The Fan Overtime host. He is covering Commanders OTAs. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Giant Barbecue Battle in D.C. So keep listening for your chance to win, because it's coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.